from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Monday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, the Hobbit tax being taken advantage of, maybe. We've got kids not walking to school, so that's not really news. We need to talk cycleways. Yes, we're still talking cycleways. But first, bag rage.
Big scrap here and in Australia over these plastic bags. Started it last week with Countdown Here. They got the same thing across the Tasman. Earlier on, you heard the person who grabbed the checkout operator by the throat started yelling and abusing. I mean, that's very Australian, isn't it? I mean, we're not quite that way here, but nevertheless...
It's been my experience in Australia. That's just how you do your supermarket shopping.
That's generally what happens at a Woolworths in Australia. But we've got backlash now because... people are bringing in their reusables, but they're from different brands of supermarkets, and the Woolworths people are refusing to stock the groceries in unless you've got their brand. And they knock back the bag, saying, I'm not going to put the groceries in that bag because it's either too dirty, or it's got holes in them, or it's from another supermarket. So you got this scrap brewing. And I do note in this country, we're on the bandwagon. We're a great country for getting on the bandwagon. And if you look closely at the moment, there's a number of people advertising the fact that they're going plastic bag free, single use, what they still call single use, which it isn't. It's multiple use, but they call it single use plastic bag free. And what I would know, and they're never going to admit it publicly, is whether or not they've got any data at all, any fact, any study as to whether what their move will do will have any impact, or whether they're just doing it for corporate good looks. And my strong, strong suspicion, it is the latter.
I quite like taking my reusable bags to Pack and Save, because I quickly, when I get to the checkout and I've unloaded my groceries, I'll quickly shove my reusable bags into the, because you know they bring like the empty trolley round to put your groceries into. And I put my bags in there, and then I pack them myself. And it's like I'm pretending to be a checkout operator myself and showing everybody how good I'd be at it. And 9 times out of 10, I do quite a good job. And then every tenth bag is a falling over, crushing loaf of bread, bruising your bananas kind of a bag. The Hobbit tax, it seems like it's being taken advantage of by some people.
Most of us remember the deal cut by John Key, then Prime Minister, with the people running Peter Jackson's operations, and whether or not they could avoid tax if they shot movies here. It was decided on balance a subsidy was worth it, given Hollywood claimed if they didn't get one, they would go elsewhere. Jackson himself was a major lobbyist for the move. And there was no doubt there was a bidding war. There are no shortage of countries, still aren't, from Canada, Ireland, India, name any number of countries you want, who are more than happy to give tax trade-offs in return for movie projects and the money and the jobs and the branding they bring. Making it slightly more complicated was the upgrade we then gave Hollywood a number of years later. The tax cut or the write-off that we gave them got bigger, which led quite rightly towards the accusation or the question, where did it stop? Was this indeed a race to the bottom? Now, the purist, of which I'm sort of one, would argue if you open the subsidy box to film, why not everyone else? Which is not a bad question with no real answer either. What's so special about movies that they deserve treatment no one else gets once again? No real answer. But look at what we have. Look at the work, the reputation, the sheer size of the industry that's been built up around Jackson's success. Look at the work that Weta still does, that garners awards and contracts and jobs and image. Look at the marketing that brings literally millions upon millions of people to New Zealand each and every year from those who want to visit what they call Middle Earth. Would you, having seen all that, go back and argue, no, rules are rules, and if we give a break to the movies, we have to give a break to everyone? It's like arguing we need exemptions on GST or the fuel tax. We don't do that, and we don't do that for very obvious reasons. So, could we argue film is unique, that what we have and continue to get is in fact worth an economic artificiality? As I say, look up the article, read it, make up your own mind. But for me, I conclude it was and is worth every cent.
And that's before you even get to the fact that you can call it the Hobbit tax, which, I mean, let's face it, that's the best name. I mean, obviously it's not actually a tax, it's a way to get out of paying tax, but we still, I'm not the only one calling it the Hobbit tax, am I? Surely not. I'm not the only one who used to bike to school with a saxophone on the carrier of my bike, my school bag strapped to the top of that, and then a bag with my guitar on my back, am I?
The phrase in the AA survey talks about safe walking and cycling infrastructure. So you see, we need infrastructure to get to school now. We did, of course, have infrastructure when I was a kid. It was called a footpath and a road. And I think we still have them. We had a crossing outside the school. Rest of the time, we, I suppose, if you want to use today's language, we took our lives into our hands crossing roads through lack of safe infrastructure. I don't recall losing anyone, any classmates. No one died or indeed got run over. Actually, I got run over. But that was on a Saturday running to my nana's house, and it was entirely my fault because I was indeed at some safe walking infrastructure, notably a pedestrian crossing. But I was in a hurry, and I ran across the lights and got collected by a Morris Minor. But as far as school went, we all managed to arrive each day unharmed. We all walked happily. But since then, all we've done is invent a whole pile of reasons why that can't happen anymore. Some are legit. Distance is one. We live further away. Kids come from rural or lifestyle blocks. Bags are another. I mean, you've seen the size of school bags these days. They weigh a ton. But in reality, we've just gone soft. We say things like, oh, it's dangerous. Our kids might get nabbed. Even though there isn't a single stat to prove that. They might get lost. It's wet. It's too far. We've taken our anxiety and we've placed it on the shoulders of our kids. And really, and by the way, I'm no different. I do the school run most days, so don't think I'm all high and mighty about this. But really, we should have known and should know better. Mainly, there is no excuse for what we do and what we have become.
Well, I actually blame the parents fair and square because they're not sewing their kids specific bags to put their guitars so they can wear them on their back like my mum did. That's right, she sewed me a guitar-carrying bag. I mean, the guitar was in a case, but then that goes on my back. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Steve Price now and the safe sexting expert he had in the studio.
Well, what have we got with the sexting round, Victoria?
Well, they're teaching, can you believe this, 12-year-old girls principally, but girls and boys, that if you're going to send naked pictures of yourself on your phone, which is apparently what sexting is, then the best way to do it is to crop out your head and disguise any tattoos that you might have. Why you'd have tattoos at 12 is beyond me, so that no one knows who you are. I had an expert on sexting on my TV show last night who said, oh, well, this is what we have to do. And I said, well, perhaps the best thing to be teaching these kids would be don't do it at all, not how to do it.
Unbelievable. All right, mate, we'll see you Wednesday. Appreciate it very much, Steve Price. A very liberal sort of state these days.
How do you become a sexting expert? Like what qualifies you?
Filters, colour, background, framing, number scent, I'd assume.
Yeah, it's. I mean, obviously quite an interesting CV to go over, I suppose. I wonder if it was a male sexting expert or a female sexting expert. It doesn't matter. I'm just wondering how you go about tracking down one of those. We're going to finish up here with the Cycleway Crusade. I think we all want them banned, don't we? Take our roads back.
Now, a letter. And I want you to follow this closely because there's numbers involved here. And this bloke seems to know what he's talking about. This is as regards Auckland Cycleways, but cycleways right around the country and the scam that has been run by councils to have more and more of these things, given that no one actually uses them. Further, says the letter, to your questioning the validity of AT's cycle survey, there's actually a way you can get a much better estimate of cycleway usage. AT, of course, don't use the figures they collect because they're so low, but what they have is trip computers on their cycleways. Earlier this year, they reported 3.6 million trips in 2017, up 6.2% on 2016. This figure's often used when more cycleway construction is advocated, as it sounds like such a big figure, but what does it actually mean? 3.6 million a year is just under 10,000 a day. But my understanding, says the letter writer, is the counters don't discriminate as to direction, so anyone who bikes to work then has to bike back home will pass the same counter twice. So it's actually 5,000 cyclists a day. However, this 5,000 number is still overstated, as there are 28 counters in various sections of cycleway, so someone cycling a reasonable distance will pass several counters on one trip. But once again, let's be generous and say halve the figure, which means you're down to 2,500 cyclists using cycleways a day. From what I can see of their low usage, that says, the letter writer, is about right. A 6.2% increase on the previous year means 155 extra cyclists, or three a week. So arguably, all that cycleway investment is only getting three people on a bike a week. If this calculation is indeed correct, how can AT claim in 2016, 46,000 people, the equivalent of the full Mount Smart Stadium, took up cycling? If 46,000 people actually took up cycling each year, there would be bike shops springing up everywhere. There would be also a high annual churn rate, as some people inevitably realise it's not for them. Trade Me currently has only 30 street bikes listed for sale in all of Auckland. I'm not a statistician, so you might want to have some recheck of the calculations, but it makes sense to me. Interesting, isn't it? There is no question it's a scam. Your eye can see it. The numbers on that, if that is accurate, back it up. But you'll never...
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that the best way to measure it is to literally get your clipboard, go out there, stand on the cycle away.
Stand for a month.
And just...
Day in, day out, and just count them.
What do you call that when you do four lines and then you put another line through to indicate five?
Counting.
Yeah, but you struggle to get up to the 5-1, I think, most hours.
Tally. When you're tallying it up, that's what that is, isn't it? Is that the word I was looking for? I think that's the word I was looking for. Don't you just hate that when it's 2 hours after you needed the word that you think of it? I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Monday. I will see you back here again tomorrow. Tally it up. It'll be number 2 for the week.